Thank you, Dave, and thanks for everyone for sticking around. You know that it's Mercury retrograde, so that if anything like this can happen, well, it possibly can. I've had being a Virgo, I'm especially affected at times by good old Mercury retrograde, and it will be with us until August 7th or 8th. Just to let you know how this particular teleclass came around, this is about my fifth teleclass for the Hilton Johnson organization. Thank you, Hilton Johnson. And I had been giving other classes, all sorts of different, on different topics, and I was asked again by Hilton Johnson to do another teleclass. And so I said, gosh, what should I talk about now? So I went to Facebook, and I've got like, I don't know, somewhere a little under 4,000 friends on Facebook. I'm listed as Tom T. Moore there in case anyone wants to friend me. And I said, what do you want me to talk about? And about half of the people that responded said they wanted to talk about December 21st and Ascension, and the other half wanted to find out more about timelines or parallel lives. So I decided to take both of those up tonight. I'll go fairly heavily on what's coming up before and after December the 21st. And then I will go into these 12 timelines or parallel lives. So, but since I have had other classes for Hilton Johnson, and I probably have some people that have returned, and also I have people that subscribe to my free newsletter and blogs, I know there are people out there that have heard this story before, but I'll have to kind of go into it just a little bit. I'll give you a very, very short version of how I got to the point where I was able to start asking questions during meditation and getting answers. So basically about 15 years ago, I discovered in reading a spiritual article that I could request benevolent outcomes in my life. And so I didn't have anyone showing me how to do this. I just kind of experimented with it. And finally I came up, and I believe I was inspired to use the phrase that anyone of any religious belief or any kind of belief can use because it does not call on any deities whatsoever. So it doesn't matter what religious belief you have, it works, and it works perfectly. So basically, I started out with the very simple things like I request the most benevolent outcome for a parking space in front of a busy restaurant or in front of a busy post office or whatever it happened to be, and for drives. And then I grew in trust that it worked, because it was working perfectly. I mean, people would be pulling out of the parking space just on the second that I needed the parking space. And I had never found any modality that worked as well. I'd gone through, like everyone probably has, the law of attraction, this and tender stuff that people try and what have you. But nothing ever worked as well as requesting most benevolent outcomes, or MBOs, as I call them. And so I started writing some articles for a magazine called the Sedona Journal of Emergence, and I'm now have been a columnist for them for several years now, however long. And so it was very well received. And finally, I was to learn that I was supposed to write books. Now, you have to understand, I come from a very business background. I have owned my own companies for many, many, many years before the film business was an international wholesale tour company. So I've been doing this a long, long time. And so my focus was completely business-wise. And here I'm being told I'm supposed to write spiritual books. And you might ask, who is telling me? Well, the way that worked, and I'll get to it in just a second, but basically I was to find out later that when you start requesting benevolent outcomes, it's the first thing that you can do to co-create with spirit. And that's very, very important, because people ask me, well, how can I ascend? You know, what can I do to raise my vibrational level? Well, you can start requesting most benevolent outcomes, and that automatically starts raising your vibrational level, because you're automatically starting to co-create with spirit. When you ask for these most benevolent outcomes, you're basically putting it out, in my belief system, to your guardian angel, who can see farther out than we can and know that whether the requests that you're making, and obviously there are major, major requests that people want, you know, more money, more, you know, this, more that, is in our best interest on a short and long-term basis. And that's very, very important, because we don't know what our soul contracts are, but our guardian angels do know, and by requesting benevolent outcomes, it keeps you on your soul contract, which is the path that you set up before you were born, and it keeps you, it raises your vibrational level, it makes you more aware, it reduces stress, reduces fear, and gives you more success. And when you do have challenges in your life, instead of being a brick wall in your path that you have to climb over, by requesting benevolent outcomes, it makes it into a big speed bump. You still have the challenges, but they're easier to get past, and you still learn from the challenges, but it's just not as difficult a lesson as it is if you're not requesting benevolent outcomes. So that's how it kind of all started with requesting benevolent outcomes. And so, lo and behold, in 2005, my wife and I decided to go to a seminar put on by Dick Sutphen. It's spelled S-U-T-P-H-E-N. And he's a master hypnotist. He's written a million-seller book, written several books, but one of them I know was a million-seller, called You Were Born Again to Be Together, about past lives. And he's hypnotized over 300,000 people over the years. So Richard was having a seminar in Sedona, Arizona, on improving your psychic abilities. So my wife wanted to go. She had never attended one of his seminars before. And I decided, well, I'd go. Even though I had attended a couple, I didn't think I'd get very much out of it. So we go. On the first day, he puts us into an altered state about four or five times, and by the end of the day, we're thinking, oh, boy, it's like drinking a bottle of wine or something. You're really high. And so on the second day, he said, well, we're going to do automatic writing. I'm going to put you under, and you're going to try to do automatic writing. Well, at that time, I had an Indian shaman channeled for me by Robert Shapiro, who had channeled the article about requesting benevolent outcomes in the Sedona Journal. And so I said, I think I'm going to try and contact him, because I had been told by Reveals the Mysteries that was the Indian shaman's translated name in English, that I was not to support Robert Shapiro's work, which I thought I was doing by writing about requesting benevolent outcomes, and I thought that was very strange. And so I decided finally, after a year or two more, I was going to ask this, if I could possibly contact Reveals the Mystery myself. And so when he put us under, I said, okay, Reveals the Mysteries, are you there? And he said, yes, I am, Tom. And I said, wow, that's neat. And so I proceeded to ask him, well, why am I the guy out there pushing requesting benevolent outcomes, even though it's so great? I would have thought there'd be other people kind of, you know, leading the way. And he said, no, Tom, he said, you're an Indian shaman at the same time I am. Your name is Stillwater, and you had decided to incarnate into the 20th and 21st centuries to reintroduce people to the gentle way. And so that was, I got the name of my book the first time I ever communicated with Reveals the Mysteries. And the way I was able to communicate with him is because we're in a time loop, and so all of our lives on Earth, and I'm talking about going back millions of years, for humans and humanoids or whatever, it's all on this time loop, and they're all happening at the same time. And so that's why I was able to communicate with Reveals the Mysteries, because he was having a life that was going on at the same time mine is. And so he said, you're supposed to write books. And I said, books? I'm a financial business kind of guy. And he said, books. And so I said, okay. And so after being kind of informed that was my sole contract, I got busy and I wrote the first book, The Gentle Way, A Self-Help Guide for Those Who Believe in Angels, in about 3 months. And when I would get stuck in writing, I would say, okay, guys, start downloading some more. And in about 10 or 15 minutes long, I would start typing again, and another 1,000 or 15 words would pop out. So that's the way the first book came about. The second book came about was because I received so many emails from all over the world after I started my newsletter that of people that were telling me about their successes with NBOs. I was able to categorize them into chapters. And so I would have a chapter in my second book about the home, a chapter about work, a chapter about business, a chapter about hospitals, medical, you name it, running around town, travel. So I would have all these chapters. And the second book is actually twice as large as the first book because it has all these extremely inspiring stories in each one of the books. And you can go to my website at www.thegentlewaybook.com, and you can sign up for my newsletter and also look at my blogs and sign up for my blogs, which have nothing but NBO stories that people send me every week from all over the world. And they are requesting MBOs for things I never thought to ask for. So they're really amazing. I really enjoy reading them each week as I receive them, because they're just things that are so neat. Even people saving lives, or even people in danger that were able to escape danger because of requesting Benevolacum. So I highly recommend that you take the plunge, go to my website, and there are two sample chapters of my first book on the website. You can read that, and you can start experimenting with requesting benevolent outcomes yourself. I guarantee it's like one of my lady readers of my newsletter said, Tom, she said, the law of attraction is like driving an old Ford Pinto, and requesting MBOs is like driving a Ferrari. Both may get you there, but the Ferrari will get you there a lot faster. And that's how amazingly simple yet powerful just this little phrase is. So give it a try. So with that said, I started not only communicating for a while with Reveals the Mysteries, who turned out to be one of my soul cluster brothers, meaning each of our souls have about 6 to 12 fragments of itself having lives on Earth. And each one of these fragments, I used to think we were all peas in the pod, but our souls gave each of these fragments different sort of personalities, different interests. And so we all have different lives so that our souls are able to gain much growth and knowledge from having these fragments having 600 to 800 lives on average on Earth. And our souls are doing this because it's a fast track for them to to raise their vibrational level too. So we're not only raising our vibrational levels by requesting MBOs, our souls are also raising their vibrational levels by having all of these lives on Earth, and along with hundreds of thousands of other lives all across the universe, because our souls are going to take over running this universe and allow the creator of the universe to go to a higher level. That's what I've been told. So, lo and behold, as I went along, I started communicating with my own guardian angel, who I named Theo because he said that our vocal cords are not made to pronounce angelic names. And he said, you could call me Tom, Dick, or Harry Tom, but Tom will be a little difficult in your meditations. And also, I'd like to mention that I don't consider what I do to be channeling. Now, some people will say it is, but what I do is simply go into an alpha state, which is a light altered state. I don't go into a deeper theta state. So what I do, you can do. If you're already meditating, I guarantee stay in a higher alpha level. Don't go too deep. And you'll be able to start asking questions of your own guardian angel, who I recommend that you contact first. And, of course, you always surround yourself with white light for protection before you do. And before I meditate, I always say I request a most benevolent outcome to receive these messages perfectly. So when I say that you can do what I can do, I really mean it, because in my workshops, as an example, I'm going to have a workshop in McKinney, Texas on August the 26th, and it'll be a four-hour workshop, and as part of the workshop, I'm going to put people into an altered state so they can ask questions of their own guardian angels. I find when I do this that 30% or better of the people can get messages, full paragraphs and even, and I wasn't able to do that when I started. And other people will just do like I did, maybe get a sentence or two, and then some people will not get anything. But you understand at that point how it's done. And keep in mind, after we pass December the 21st, Theo tells me it's going to get a whole lot easier for anybody that does meditation to be able to communicate with your own guardian angel and guides. So that's something to look forward to, and that's what I'm going to be talking about during this time period. So I better run along. And so here are some of the things that I've gotten about December the 21st. First of all, we're all going to get there at the same time. Okay, people have asked, well, am I going to be left behind? Or are there going to be people left behind? I'm being told that I've got to do this and this, or I'll be left behind. No. If you're alive on December the 21st, you are it's like you're either on a ladder, if you want to look at it in that analogy, or I like to look at it as we're all on a cruise ship. Because our vibrational levels may be higher, maybe we're in the penthouse, but everybody on that cruise ship is going to get to that port. It's going to get to the fifth focus at the same time. Nobody's going to be left behind. That whole cruise ship's going to get there. So keep that in mind. Everybody is going to make it. So here are some of the questions that I've asked Theo. Theo, a little more clarification on the fifth focus, as there is quite a bit of confusion. Will some of our friends and families drop away in some form or another when we shift the focus? They will not disappear, Tom, as some people think. As I've said many times, everyone alive at the time of the shift will all shift together. They will not stay behind in the third dimensional Earth. That said, they may simply drop back as you accelerate with the freedom the fifth focus gives you. You may find you have less to talk about than before. They will be adjusting to this new focus, and there will not be the conflicts or the intensity of the conflicts that remain. This is, as you can only imagine, Tom, a very complex set of circumstances, as this has never been done before while people are living on a planet. Very, very important. This has never been done before. So, another question on maybe another day. Still confused on the fifth focus, Theo. Do we go there through the fourth, or do we go directly there to the fifth? Yes, it is confusing, Tom. You will not reside in the fourth, but will make the jump directly to the fifth focus. Yes, there are those that say you will be going to the fourth focus, but that information is for a certain group of people who really would have a problem accepting such a large jump, which frightens them. Okay? Will we? So that's also very important. That a lot of people have been keep being told, oh, you're going to the fourth dimension, but we're not. We're bridging over to the fifth focus, as for some reason the spiritual people like to call it, and so I use what they tell me to call it. I said, will we still have the same afflictions and diseases in the fifth as we do in the third focus? Good question, Tom. Yes, at the beginning of the fifth you will, but they will quickly, in my terms, and keep in mind their terms, Theo's been around for several million years, so in their terms, it will fade away as it will be much easier to cure them. Will our cells change from carbon to crystalline all at once, and will our scientists and medical professionals notice this change? Yes, Tom, your bodies will change significantly almost overnight, it will seem, and yes, your medical professionals will notice this change and be baffled by it for a while. And then I ask, will some people remain at, say, 5.0, and actually we're all going to be at 5.0000, I found out, while others move up to, say, 5.05 as an example? No. Everyone will have time to adjust to the 5.0 level time. Some will adjust easily, while others will find it quite disconcerting. They will have a difficulty adjusting, but they will, over a period of time, adjust. Now, I'm going to bring in who I call Uncle Zosh. Now, Zosh is a creator, and he is he's like the end of time historian, and he liked what our creator of our universe. Keep in mind, there's billions of creators, and our creator, I've been told, would be rated in like the top five. Okay, so Zosh is another creator that is assisting our creator in his work, and so I have spoken to him pretty rarely, but in this particular case, I had read an article that Robert Shapiro was channeling Zosh, and I call him Uncle Zosh because he feels like an uncle, and it was about vertical time and why we went on this vertical time on January the 11th of 2011. So Zosh says, yes, Tom, I will attempt to explain it to your readers, which I might add are growing in numbers you're not aware of yet. Vertical time, as you discussed at the dinner table this past weekend, cannot be explained as horizontal and then tipping vertical like the table knife used. Time for you is in a loop or a circle, so it cannot be straight like the table knife, yet that was the best reference you had. You are in a loop of linear time. Yes, but in order to reach a more benevolent timeline, there had to be a connection which was just established on the date mentioned in January of 2011, thanks to the assistance of four other suns, S-U-N-S. This was not an easy task and took great energy and focus, if you will. So vertical time is a corridor of time to connect you with the higher focused timeline. And to answer your question, yes, it was done for all the timelines, which we're going to get into tonight, both higher frequencies and lower frequencies than your timeline. So on a third dimensional level, if you can imagine a tube suddenly appearing on your loop of time and connecting to another loop of time, that would be another way to imagine it for your readers. Naturally, its purpose is to take you out of that loop of time and put you onto another much more benevolent loop of time, into the fifth focus, as it is termed. So how long will we be in this vertical time tube or timeline? Yes, several months of your time, but not too long. This vertical time tube or line is quite short, you see, in comparison to the one you've been on for several thousand years. The next one you will be on will be for several thousand more years, too, you see, but at a much higher frequency, allowing much more growth. But that discussion has been made many times. Suffice to say, you will connect in several months. Okay, you said in the article that everyone is going together through this vertical timeline and everyone will arrive at the fifth focus together, yet elsewhere in the article you mentioned some people would be driving and suddenly find themselves elsewhere while others will enter the new timeline during dream time and so on. It sounded as if it would not happen on the same day or 24-hour period, but separately. Please explain. Yes, I see where you arrived at that conclusion, Tom, but in reality, everyone will arrive within a few minutes of each other. And yes, your souls are setting this up so that it will take place towards the end of December of 2012 as you mark your calendars. So I think I have given your readers sufficient visualization of what is occurring at this moment. And said, I thanked Uncle Zosh, and any more comments for our readers? No, only to keep your focus on benevolence, Tom, in this daily lives. This, more than anything, results in a benevolent future for you all. I do encourage them all to continue to request these benevolent outcomes in their lives, as you have had explained to you before about how it puts them on a higher level vibrational rate. Okay, I wish you a good life, good lifetime, and any time you wish, I'm available to you or any one of your readers who meditate to connect to spirit. So thank you for your offer. So we're also, I'm going to have to sort of summarize some of these things because otherwise we won't have any time to discuss timelines, but we're also converting from a carbon-based body to a crystalline body, and our scientists will be will already noticing some of these changes in the makeup of the average person. And it says, certainly changes in body structure contributes to your energy levels, Tom, but we can't forget other outside influences. I ask, why are we feeling all so tired? And so CMEs, planetary alignments, tiredness or even exhaustion, an enormous amount of energy is being sent your way each day from many sources to enable you to handle the jump. And then I ask, will the two strands of DNA turn into four? Yes, you're very close to adding the extra strands of DNA. And will there be anything people will notice on December 21st or 22nd, or will it be normal days? As I've said before, Tom, only those with a higher vibrational level will notice any difference at all. For most, it will seem as if a non-event, business as usual. Yet it will not be. As we have covered before, colors will be brighter, but not so obvious to the normal person at first. There will be less pressure on your bodies. You might feel a little lighter. And then I ask, will timelines converge on December 21st? Yes, they will to a certain extent, Tom, but not so that you'll be able to see all the other versions of yourself. Again, only very sensitive people will notice the difference, but a nice question from your reader. So that's one of the things. Keep in mind, you can email me questions, and if they're of a general nature, not personal, I will try and put them on the list. Or, first of all, you go to my articles page on my website, which is www.thegentlewaybook.com. Click on Articles and News. And there's a search box on that page. I have every newsletter I have put out since 2007 archived on that page, and you can do searches for phrases, names, you name it, and to see if I've already covered that subject in a past newsletter. And if I haven't, then send in the question, and I will try and put it on the list. It may take a little while, a couple of weeks maybe, and I will try and ask the question in my meditation, if you haven't already started your own meditation. So, I was asked about changes in the financial, pharmaceutical, educational, and what about world peace? There will be major changes in all of these sectors of enterprise in the fifth focus, I can assure you, Tom. Let's begin with the financial sector. They have been controlling your purse strings from behind the scenes for many, many years. You will first see that they are forced to become much more conservative with yours and everyone's money. No more high-flying investments in shady deals. They will be held much more accountable for their actions, and they will be regulated much more closely than before. And yes, this will pertain to those banks and financial institutions in developing countries too. The banking sector will demand that if they wish to do business on a worldwide basis, they will comply with worldwide banking laws or they will not be able to do business. Naturally, this will take a few years, but you will see this coming about rather quickly in the fifth focus. The families that have controlled the banks will lose their control, although not without a fight. But these controls will come to light in the fifth focus, and their time of power behind the scenes is fast coming to an end. Next is the pharmaceutical sector, Tom, or as you like to call it, Big Pharma. They are responsible for so many deaths in even just the United States as they continue to manipulate your governing bodies at both the national and state level. They are running scared as they see the power of the Internet to share alternative treatments so that people are not forced to take dangerous drugs with all sorts of side effects. Developing a healthy lifestyle will do wonders for people not even needing to take drugs of any kind. Big Pharma will try and prevent this by continuing to support unhealthy lifestyles, which result in diseases. But movements to better and healthier lifestyles will move fairly quickly in the fifth focus, and great strides in this will slowly reduce their ability to control your lives. There will be exposés of Big Pharma knowing the dangers of certain drugs but still pushing it on the population by paying off the doctors. And finally, the educational system, but this time worldwide, as we have touched on the subject before. Certainly the Internet, with its instantaneous ability to answer questions about a particular subject, will greatly influence millions of lives, even in very poor countries. As they add millions of computers, the children will almost self-educate themselves, learning about the world without formal classrooms. Many classrooms will teach while the children in their classroom look up the answers on their iPhones and similar devices. And yes, eventually there will be devices developed to download this information in its entirety on a particular subject directly to a person's brain. The classroom will become global in nature, Tom. And regarding world peace, yes, that will take some time. And this is one of the things that I kind of hate hearing. I mean, I was asking about Afghanistan the other day, and it's going to take Afghanistan 50 to maybe 100 years to clean themselves up and to be a good democratic neighbor to everyone. 50 to 100 years. You'd like to hear, oh, it's going to be within 10 or 15, but that's not what I was told. So regarding world peace, yes, that will take some time. We have discussed this subject in the past. Certainly there will be no more global wars, but conflicts will continue here and there for quite some time, but slowly reducing in number over the next several years. There will be much more diplomacy. So to give an estimate, it will be a few hundred years until there is no more conflicts with people killing and being killed. Again, as I stated before, dictators will be out of a job soon, but there will be internal conflicts on who should govern a country after the dictators are deposed, and we're already seeing that in places like the Arab Spring, like Egypt, where there's great conflicts on who's going to be in power. So that's just things just are not going to happen overnight, but things will happen much faster than they have in the third focus. In the third focus, we're just about at 3.90, somewhere in that area, maybe slightly lower. And when we bridge over on December the 21st, we're going to 5.00, as I mentioned before. So it's going to be a nice jump, but it's going to be much more pleasant. I'm starting to run out of time. I want to at least touch for a while on timelines or parallel lives and explain those to you. And if we have some time, I'll try and get back and fill you in on a little few more things about things coming up in the fifth focus. But let's go into timelines right now. Now, basically, I have been told that there are 12 timelines, okay, 12 parallel worlds. Now, some people misunderstand this and think, oh, these are like rungs of a ladder, and you can move from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 on up the ladder. That's not what we're talking about. A timeline is like a tube of time, if you can imagine it that way. They're sort of like walls that are in this tube of time that separate it from the other tubes of time. And so these 12 parallel lives, there are 12 yous. Each one of you has 12, 11 other parallel lives going on at the same time. Okay? So the timelines, I've been told, are divided first into fours, okay, by vibe, and I'm talking about frequency levels, okay? So timelines 1, 2, 3, and 4 are coupled together. Then there's a jump to in frequency to a higher level to 5, 6, 7, and 8. And we're on timeline number 6. We're in the middle of the pack, so to speak. Okay, and then there's another jump in frequency to a higher, more benevolent timelines of 9, 10, 11, and 12. Now, 12, I was told, is a non-physical timeline. And I thought that was really strange. And I didn't ask about it for a while because I had so many other questions about the other timelines. But just to tell you now, the 12th timeline is non-physical because this is the perfect life that your soul imagines you would have from your birth to your death, okay? The perfect, perfect life. And all the other lives are less perfect than that one. But the 12th timeline is sort of the one that all the others are judged by or judged against, if you wish, and because that's the perfect life. So after you have the groupings of the four, then you have the timelines divided into twos. So timelines 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, 7 and 8, 9 and 10, and 11, and I don't know how 11 ties in with 12, but supposedly it does. Okay, so to give you some examples of some personal examples that I've been told about the difference on my lives on the timeline. As an example, in 2006, on this timeline, I had congestive heart failure. Okay, this was hereditary. My father died of that, and so I had congestive heart failure. I lived okay, but Theo, my guardian angel, tells me that on timelines 1 and 2, I died. Okay, so I'm no longer around on timelines 1 and 2. Now on 3 and 4, as I mentioned before I got into the film and TV program distribution business, I had an international wholesale tour company. And on that timelines 3 and 4, I'm still doing that work. I'm still in the tour business. I never got into the film distribution business. And I haven't written any spiritual books. I'm currently writing, or perhaps I've finished by now, I don't know, a book on my life in the tour business and all the things that I've seen and done while I was in the tour business. Okay, so that's a difference on that timeline. On timelines 5, 6, 7, and 8, it's my understanding that I did get into the international film and TV distribution business, with obviously timelines 7 and 8 being just easier than it is for me on timeline 6. And I have written these two spiritual books, and I will be writing more books as soon as I can find time to assemble them. I've got two more books almost ready to go, but I haven't had time because of, between my business and doing a 12-page newsletter every week and a blog every week, yeah, I'm super busy. So I know that's going to come along because I put up my film library for sale, and I'm hoping somebody will come along and buy it so that I'll have a lot more time to write. So that's kind of where I am there. Now, Theo has told me that on one timeline you can be obese, grossly overweight, and on another timeline you can be slim and trim. Okay? On timelines 9, 10, and 11, Theo tells me that when I went to my university, which was Texas Christian University, TCU, in Fort Worth, Texas, I instead of becoming a business major, which I'm sure was my sole contract for these timelines, my sole contract had to be that I was into English, and I became a writer even in my university days. And Theo tells me that shortly after my graduation from TCU, I published my first book that was a science fiction book, and later I would get into mind, body, spirit books and have become an authority on mind, body, spirit matters, and have given talks all over the world about that. And instead of living in Texas, I live in the Colorado Mountains. So those are some of the differences in timelines that you can have. And so when Theo or whoever it was said that these timelines are going to converge somewhat into around December the 21st, then we're not going to be able to jump from one to the other, and we're not going to be able to create stuff perhaps more easily, but there will be, it sounds like, maybe a thinning of the walls or something like that. So there may be some interesting things. I know if anyone has ever read the Jane Roberts books, one of the things that I found out back in 2007 is that our timeline and timeline number 5 joined or crossed paths for several months until I think 2008. And I asked, why did our timelines cross? And I was told, well, there were things that each timeline needed to experience at the same, but then they would divide and there would be different decisions that you would make based on which timeline you were in. And so in the Jane Roberts books, if anyone has ever read her Seth books, she mentioned in one of her books, I remembered this for some reason, that she and her husband were sitting in a dance hall of some type, and they looked across the dance floor, and there she and her husband were. There were doubles. So it must have been maybe in the 80s. Perhaps there were the timelines crossed before at that time period. I'm not sure. So if you happen to see two of you, at some point in time, you'll know that our timelines must have crossed. So that's kind of how timelines work. And as I say, it seems to be soul contracts that each of us have sort of different personalities and different wants and desires in these different timelines, but it's all for our soul's learning, okay? And because our soul's learning is because they, our souls are going to meld together someday and take over running this whole universe. So we have to keep that in mind. So when you think about it, our guardian angels, my guardian angel, Theo, is the oldest guardian angel. He was the first guardian angel to sign up or volunteer for the job. He doesn't like the term guardian angel. He prefers servants of the Creator better. But that's how we know them. So guardian angels they are. And so Theo tells me that he takes care of 19,000 plus souls. Now keep in mind, each one of those souls is having has 6 to 12 fragments of itself, having 600 to 800 lives on Earth at the same time, and all, because we're on this time loop. And so not only are we having the 600 to 800 lives on average, and I asked him why the big difference between 600 and 800, and he said, some souls like to get these lives over quickly, and so you'll have what I call drama kings, kings and queens, where things seem to be happening to your friends all the time, every day, something new is coming up. And that's because they're on a shorter range of lives. But as it is, our souls have all of these lives going on at the same time for 6 to 12 fragments. And then each one of these fragments in each of these lives is having 12 parallel lives. And so you're talking about the guardian angels are having very, if you can, demanding lives. And they, of course, they're not having lives, but time taking care of us all. But these golden light beings, these guardian angels, are so powerful that I tell people that my guardian angel, Theo, could handle 2 million requests for a parking space at the same time and not break a sweat. So keep in mind, start requesting benevolent outcomes. We're starting to run down a little time. I do want to repeat again for you that my website is www.thegentlewaybook.com, okay? And on the website, you can sign up for my newsletter. I have thousands of people that take my newsletter every week all over the world and that are requesting benevolent outcomes and also sending in questions for me to ask in meditation. Then you can read these two sample chapters of the book that I have. You can go to my blogs. In my blogs, you can read one blog after another and read all the latest stories. You can read the story about the lady that saved a child's life in a classroom that had gotten food stuck in his throat and requested the benevolent outcome. She was able to save the boy's life when another teacher and two aides were not able to. You can read about the lady who had a 60-second home invasion where some thugs broke into their house and left within 60 seconds because they heard a tinkle of a bell outside after she requested a benevolent outcome for their safety. And you can read about a lady in the Midwest that a tornado was bearing down on them, and she requested a benevolent outcome, grabbed the kids, headed for the basement, and the tornado passed right over their house. This requesting benevolent outcomes is tremendously powerful. You can request a compression of time. If you're running late for an appointment, and all you do is say, "I request the most benevolent outcome for a compression of time until 2 o'clock." Thank you. Whatever the time is that you have to be there. And then you don't look at your watch, you don't look at the clock in the car, you just drive, and you'll find you'll get there 1 or 2 minutes early. That's how powerful. You can request, if you're in a northern latitude and it's wintertime, we're going to have a very harsh winter, Gaia, the soul of the earth, tells me. If you're in a winter climate, a northern climate where it's cloudy 7 days a week for seemingly weeks on end, you can request a benevolent outcome for one sunny day a week. And I recommend Saturday because kids are out of school or they're having short school days, depending on the part of the world you're in. People are out at football games or sports events, and or they're out shopping. And so Saturday is a good day to request one sunny day a week. And you will get your one sunny day a week, but you have to request it. And you can't request it the day before. You need to request it early in the week. And the more people in your vicinity that request request the benevolent outcome for the sunny day, the wider the sunny day will be, and it won't be just one little patch of sun for you. So keep in mind, these are very, very powerful beings that are there to assist us, and I do appreciate everyone tuning in tonight. If you have additional questions, go to my website, www.thegentlewaybook.com, and read the newsletter. Start at the very latest ones and start working back. You'll read a lot of interesting stuff about the change to the fifth focus, and you can type in fifth focus or December 21st and read all the things that I have received in my meditations about it. So with that, I'm going to thank you for tuning in tonight. I request a most benevolent outcome for all of you. I hope you enjoyed this evening, and I look forward to being Facebook friends and with you, and good night. Thank you.